Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. The USS Gettysburg mistakenly shot down a Super Hornet on December 22nd during operations targeting Houthi positions in the Red Sea. The friendly fire incident raises questions about the readiness of the ship and its crew. The Super Hornet's crew ejected seconds before the missile struck, avoiding fatalities. A second missile launched by the Gettysburg narrowly missed another U.S. aircraft, adding to concerns about the ship's systems and decision-making protocols. The Gettysburg recently completed an extensive modernization program, but faced widespread issues. Delays of over 15 years and cost overruns of 36% marked the $1.9 billion program, which included upgrades to combat systems and propulsion. Navy pilots voiced concern about the insufficient training aboard the Gettysburg. The ship plays a critical role as an air defense platform for the carrier strike groups, making such incidents especially troubling. I'm very glad we'll be getting some competent leaders in the Pentagon very soon. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Do you plan to watch President Trump's inauguration, Skip?
Oh, I sure do. I've been waiting 4 years for this, Colonel. My whole family is going to watch. Maybe we'll have pizza, ice cream, root beer. We'll make it a big event here at the Coriel household.
It's certainly a turning point, but wow, does he have a lot of work to do, and particularly given how much work's being done to hurt him by the present administration. Anyway, sure. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss how the Biden-Harris administration has blatantly worked to hurt Israel and support Hamas, and what's happening now. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Marine vet Ryan Engel will discuss how veterans' homes help veterans. Colonel Scott Fisher will present the Officers Christian Fellowship, an organization open to everyone in the military community. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Before we start the news, as I'll discuss in the next segment, negotiators have tried to get Israel and Hamas to agree on a ceasefire and a hostage release. They got an agreement. Then Hamas made a change. Maybe something will happen this weekend, and maybe nothing until Monday when Trump takes charge. This show hits the satellite on Friday, so this is the latest info we have. And let's not forget the other major problems our nation is facing. Lots of U.S. citizens living in the North Carolina area are living in tents in the snow because their homes and streets and bridges were destroyed by storms months ago, and the federal government is doing nothing for them. And there are lots of drones controlled by who knows who, flying all over several of our states, and the federal government is doing nothing. And then there's the storm crisis in California, which is clearly made a lot worse by incompetent state and local leaders. Okay, now the news. Take us there, Skip.
All right, Colonel. The Kremlin has issued a warning to Trump over Greenland, telling him that Russia is watching and present in the Arctic zone after he refused to rule out using military force to seize the vast territory. Trump refused to rule out military action to take control of the Arctic island at a press conference and had earlier vowed to slap high tariffs on Denmark if it refused to cede its autonomous territory. Quote, "We are very closely watching this rather dramatic development of the situation, which is, thank God, at the level of statement so far," Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said.
Due to the retreating ice on the North Pole, the Arctic is becoming a major sea route with huge military impact. Greenland is now a part of Denmark, but it's seeking independence, which will remove it from our NATO partner Denmark's control. This is a big deal.
And Iran has enhanced its air defense by deploying the Nazar radar in the Gilan province near the Caspian Sea. According to Defense Express, construction of the radar began in 2022, with the main structure completed by the end of 2023. However, it is expected to be fully operational by early 2025. The Nazar radar is a sophisticated complex of antennas and transmission reception systems. The Nazar radar includes more than just antennas. As explained by Defense Express, it is essentially a complex of reception and transmission equipment supported by power systems. The NASA radar can detect objects up to 500 miles away and at altitudes up to 19 miles. It can track low-visibility objects such as cruise missiles and monitor ballistic missile launches. The chosen location for the NASA radar is strategic. It was constructed on Mount Suman, the highest point in the region, ensuring a broad range of coverage. This means Iran can now observe areas that were previously outside the reach of their air defense systems, including parts of Russia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Turkey, and Central Asian countries. The location of the NASA radar holds strategic importance, particularly in addressing potential threats from the north. Iranian sources suggest that some attacks from Israel have been launched from the north, utilizing Azerbaijan's airspace. The new radar will allow Iran to detect such threats earlier.
The major target of this radar system is Russia. Dictatorships often work together at times, and Russia and Iran have worked together. It seems that Iran's dictator sees reason not to trust Russia's dictator, which is a wise move.
And Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu convened a security discussion focusing on preparedness for potential military action against Iran alongside implications of the incoming Donald Trump administration. The security deliberations follow Israel's October 26 strike on Isfahan, which itself was a response to Iran's strikes on Israel earlier that month. While Iran's officials initially vowed retaliation, their threats have notably subsided, though recent weeks have seen renewed hostile rhetoric from Tehran. Israel's security establishment has maintained heightened alert since October, anticipating possible Iranian retaliation that is yet to materialize. Israel has recently struck several sites of Lebanese Hezbollah south of the Litani River, while Lebanese authorities recently allegedly seized money from an Iranian diplomat at Beirut's airport. It's unknown at this stage whether Israel passed on intelligence to the Lebanese government of the Hezbollah-destined cash transfer. The situation in the Middle East has been further complicated by ongoing Houthi attacks from Yemen against Israel, which Israeli officials linked to Iranian influence. In return, Israel has repeatedly struck Yemen's ports and airports in an attempt to cripple the group.
There is no doubt that Iran supports and, to an extent, supports terrorist groups in the area, including the Houthis. It's clear that Israel has been restricted by our government from really dealing with this issue. It's pretty clear that under President Trump, things will change.
Any just and lasting peace agreement for the Ukraine conflict must account for a Crimea free of Russian occupation for the sake of regional peace and security. Crimea, under Putin's control, would likely turn the Black Sea into a Russian lake, severing the Caucasus and Central Asia from Europe and directly threatening NATO members Romania and Bulgaria and effectively precluding Baltic Black Sea's connectivity. A Russian Crimea mortally endangers Odessa and Ukraine's entire southern course, sowing the seeds for an enduring, simmering Ukraine-Russia conflict fueled by concerns over national security, sovereignty, and pride. Russian control would return Crimea to its centuries-old violent history, a flashpoint of regional instability and power competition among all interested in accessing the Black Sea. And Russian dominance in the area would significantly boost Chinese and Iranian influence across the Black and Caspian Seas and Greater Central Asia more broadly, undermining American, European, and broader free world interest.
Putin is a puppeteer who is quickly running out of puppets, strings, and stage space. His war economy is fueling unsustainable inflation at home and is unable to replace men and material on the battlefield. According to a recent article in Foreign Policy, Russia is producing 20 artillery and tank cannons a month to replace over 300 lost over the same period. The Russian army is losing over 40,000 soldiers per month and recruiting around 20 to 30,000 in the same period, despite lucrative bonuses. As a result, North Korean soldiers are finding in Kursk, and the hapless migrant workers find themselves shanghaied to the front lines. The out-of-control Russian dictatorship needs to have its regional influence and control reduced. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do and have for years. Check out cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel that will enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Marine vet Ryan Engel. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the FBI, 85% of altercations don't rise to the level of deadly force. Make sure you have some open-handed self-defense skills or pepper gel to ward off these less than lethal attacks. Always have a plan to repel non-lethal attackers and make sure you are in compliance with all self-defense laws in your jurisdiction. This is just one way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Can you believe it? Our nation has been actively working against Israel as it sought to get the hostages taken by Hamas free and truly end the conflict. Last Wednesday, we heard that the negotiators for Hamas and Israel agreed to a ceasefire and a plan that will free the hostages over time. This makes no sense to me, but I don't know the pressure on the Israeli leadership from the Israeli citizens. I mean, at noon this Monday, the Hamas-supporting Biden administration disappears and the pro-Israel Trump team takes over. However, Hamas made a change, and now everything is on hold. Okay, here's what the situation was before this questionable new plan appeared. Liri Albag, one of the five female IDF soldiers still held hostage in Gaza, was the subject of a Hamas video filmed on January 1st and available on pro-Hamas websites. It shows the 19-year-old in emotional distress, shaking at times, begging for her life. Dead or alive, the hostages have been held in Gaza for about 460 days. Israel has been unable to bring them home, a wildly frustrating issue. The New York Times published an interview with the outgoing Secretary of State, Blinken. He said Hamas is refusing to release the hostages for two reasons. One is that whenever there's a disagreement between us and Israel, and it seems that pressure is growing on Israel, Hamas wins. They pull back from agreeing on anything. And their hope that there will be a wider conflict, that Hezbollah and Iran and others would attack Israel, thus Israel would be busy and Hamas could continue doing its thing. Our pressure on Israel began immediately after the attack. providing unlimited supplies to Gaza, euphemistically referred to as humanitarian aid, but really feeding Hamas, has been our pressure on Israel. Immediately after the invasion, Israel announced a siege of Gaza. The Gazans had taken 256 Israelis hostage. Until they were released, Gaza would be under siege. Siege warfare has long been one of the most humane, least destructive forms of warfare, and it's legal under the laws of war. Biden disagreed. Blinken compelled Israel to supply Hamas immediately. 5 days after October 7th, he spent 9 hours in the IDF's headquarters demanding humanitarian assistance needed to get to the Gazans. Israel was a totally traumatized society. No one wanted any assistance going to anyone in Gaza. The Gazans totally support Hamas. Biden wouldn't visit Israel until Israel capitulated to Blinken's demand and to provide food and water for the people of Gaza. These people who supported Hamas's taking 256 Israeli children, babies, women, and men hostage. Biden admitted that hostages are still in Gaza because Hamas knows we're pressuring Israel to capitulate. Further, by demanding that Israel feed the Gazans, he removed any fear Hamas leaders might have that their people would overthrow them. So, no pressure to release the hostages. When Blinken arrived, Israel still didn't know how many Israelis had been taken hostage or were dead. Hundreds of the victims had yet to be identified due to Hamas's mutilization of their bodies. Half of the 1,200 Israelis butchered that day were beheaded. Military leaders argued that a siege strategy combined with airstrikes could have forced Hamas's capitulation or at least a hostage release. While Blinken seems in partial agreement with that assessment, he shows no remorse to the devastating impact he's had on the hostages. Michael Duran, a former National Security Council member, said Biden intended to use the allegation that Israel is not providing sufficient supplies to Gaza to permanently undermine Israel's international position. Biden would use our Foreign Assistance Act, which asserts, quote, that any country that's blocking U.S. humanitarian aid will have its military assistance cut off, end quote. He'll use that against Israel. And that could be used as the basis of a U.N. Security Council resolution put forward by Algeria or Slovenia. It can be used by the International Criminal Court, the European Union, and others to strike at Israel. So, to avoid getting things worse and facilitating the speedy release of the 100 hostages, the incoming Trump administration must apply massive pressure on Britain and France to veto any such resolution in the Security Council and to threaten Slovenia and Algeria with a sanction if they advance this resolution. Okay, so now there's a ceasefire and a hostage release proposal that should be but isn't happening now. I believe that once President Trump is in office, Israel may, at some time, trash the agreement if it's ever approved and attack Gaza and take out Hamas and its supporters. And, given everything the Biden team is doing to make Trump's term much harder, we need to support and pray for the Trump team. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to be a partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and many others. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, in 1937, the crew of the Coast Guard cutter Campbell was out on liberty when they found a stray mixed breed dog on the streets of New York. And of course, they smuggled him onto the ship. That was the beginning of Sinbad the Dog becoming one of the most popular Coast Guard members in history. Sinbad's unlikely journey made him the subject of a short movie, a popular book, and even a national publicity tour. Not bad for a shipmate that slept on duty, didn't follow commands, and was easily distracted by food. But what he lacked in military bearing, he made up for by being a beloved companion for the crew. Sinbad was only allowed to stay aboard the Campbell when Captain James Hirschfield, the ship's commanding officer, saw how the mutt's affection raised morale on the ship. The pup was treated like a distinguished guest, with hammocks and collars made just for him, along with a personal life jacket that ended up doubling up as a mattress. And Sinbad's sleeping quarters? Well, they moved every night, just depended on what crew member's bunk he chose to sleep on. And just like any other coastie, Sinbad's service and health records, they were on file with the service. He was even assigned service number 069, tect 069. In February 1943, Sinbad was blissfully asleep when German submarines attacked the Campbell. The Campbell and a Polish destroyer ended up sinking the U-boat, but the Campbell's engine room ended up being flooded, disabling the ship for 4 days in the North Atlantic before it was towed to Newfoundland. And what was Sinbad doing during this battle? Well, for the most part, he was sleeping. Sinbad retired from the Coast Guard in 1948 with the rank of Chief Dog, and he settled into a comfortable life at Barnegat Lighthouse in New Jersey. You know, he was one of the few animal mascots in U.S. military history to be classified as a non-commissioned officer. He died on December 30th, 1951, at the age of 13, and was deemed worthy of a full military funeral. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. Your comments are always good. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Marine vet Ryan Engel about veterans' homes. Then we'll discuss the Officers' Christian Fellowship. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better health care options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to Vetted Veterans Program's mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. And troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Ryan Engel. Ryan graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy, became a Marine, and served in combat as an infantryman. He now works for the state of Michigan, working with veterans' homes. So, welcome, Ryan.
Colonel, thank you for having me.
Hey, you know, we got too much in common not to do things together. Start by telling us about why you decided to get in the military. Why Annapolis? Why the Marines? Tell us about your service.
Of course. I mean, I grew up as the middle son of a single mom, public school teacher. And so while, you know, not incredibly wealthy growing up, we never went hungry. And I always felt this, you know, as a kid, I mean, my life was full of opportunities and I could do, you know, whatever I wanted to. I could grow up and to be whatever I wanted to be as a young person. And so I always felt, you know, for a country that gave me so much, that I always wanted to give something back. And, you know, my plan from an early age, I think it was from, you know, watching the Marine Corps commercials where the Marine fights the fire-breathing dragon from the probably in the early 90s there. I always wanted to be a Marine. And then I had a formative football coach in high school who said, hey, you know, you're got good grades. You're doing a lot of leadership stuff. You're an athlete. You should look at the Naval Academy. And I said, I don't want to be in the Navy. I want to be in the Marine Corps. And little did I know, you could go to the Naval Academy, commission as a Marine. And so I started looking into it and had another good mentor who helped guide me in you know, the path of service academies and what it was all about. And yeah, that led me to service at the Academy or studying at the Academy and then service in the Marine Corps as an infantry officer.
And you went into combat as an infantryman, didn't you?
I did. I was a rifle platoon commander with 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines. We were, I was privileged to lead and serve alongside a group of infantrymen, about 100 Marines and Afghan soldiers in the largest offensive of the war in Afghanistan back in 2010 in Helmand Province in Marja District.
Well, that's something else we have in common. As a lieutenant, I was a platoon leader in Vietnam as a second lieutenant. So we have way too much in common, Ryan.
Indeed, two infantrymen. I think we can always share stories together, Colonel.
That's right. And it's also scary for anybody who has to listen to us. Okay. So you served in the Marines. Well, right now, you're working, helping veterans. When you got out, what's the transition here?
Yeah, so I knew I was going to get out of service. My wife was actually a Black Hawk pilot in the Army, and we met. And, you know, when we were expecting our first, we decided, hey, this probably isn't going to work as parents. So we said, let's move on to the next chapter of our lives. So we both got out as captains. And then I did what a lot of junior military officers do, and I went and worked in corporate America and made a good living. I worked for a great company. But truth be told, I was looking for something a little more different. I kind of had that feeling of, you know, what is this it? Do I work for 35 years and then get a watch? Is that it from here? And so I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to get something, you know, make more impactful work to me or the way I perceived it. And so at the time, a little over 9 years ago, there were some really big challenges at our veteran homes in Michigan. There was a challenging audit at the home in Grand Rapids. That presented some employment opportunities. And I was not familiar at the time with the veteran homes, but applied for a job in doing business services work for the state veteran homes in a very challenging time, got that opportunity, and have ever since been with the Michigan Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. I did business services for a while. I moved up to Marquette and was the administrator at the 184-bed skilled nursing facility for veterans in Marquette, the Jacob Eddy. And now I'm, you know, supporting all three of our homes in philanthropy, legislative relationships, and strategic communications.
So, you know, you said as a young man, you weren't sure what you wanted to be, but you wanted to find out what you wanted to be, and you wanted to be you. That's the goal we have for our kids, isn't it? That's what we want our kids to do, to be them, I didn't want my son to be me. I wouldn't mind it if he decided to follow me, but I want him to be him. So that's a worthy goal. Okay. So now you're working with veterans homes. I did some volunteer work with veterans homes for a while when I first got here, and they do so much. And most people I've found don't understand veterans homes are for veterans, but what standard of veterans can they be? Do they need to have served on active duty? Do they need to have served in combat? And I suspect that every state has different rules here. Am I right?
They do. So, you know, the history of state veterans homes, I mean, which has evolved into it's a state and federal partnership now, but it dates back to the post-Civil War era before the federal, you know, department, federal government and the, you know, the federal VA was even created really yet, didn't have the footprint that they did today. And so states started seeing these veterans that fought in the Union and even in the post-Confederate South, you know, these veterans on the streets of their communities that had served causes, for the Union in this case, but then started, the state said, hey, we should do something about this. It's not right that these people who fought on our behalf are now out on the streets needing care. So states started popping up these homes for veterans. The first one opened in Rocky Hill, Connecticut in 1864. And then you started seeing them, you know, these facilities for veterans kind of pop up across the nation owned by the states themselves. In Michigan, we've been serving veterans continuously on the same campus here in Grand Rapids since 1886. And now there's more than 170 state veteran homes throughout the country. They're all very different, but there's a common connection with the federal VA and some programmatic requirements now that are codified in law. But yeah, very different state to state, owned and operated by individual states, but generally in the business of providing long-term care to veterans and their loved ones.
Okay. And I'm sure that listeners who might be interested in this, but don't much about it, the answer is to contact your state, maybe through your state representatives or however, to find out what your state's rules are rather than guess or make a bad choice. That's probably a reasonable way to check it out, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, there's actually our association. We're part of a National Association of State Veteran Homes. So we have a website. It's NASVH.org. So National Association of State Veteran Homes, NASVH.org. And you can even find, you know, you could go to your state, click Alabama or Nevada. And there's at least one state veteran homes in every state in the country. Obviously, many states have multiple. And there's a state veteran home in Puerto Rico as well. So,
okay, let's talk about in Michigan, since obviously that's your specialty. Is it for anybody who's ever worn the uniform, or is there a minimum requirement to be accepted into the Veterans Hall?
Yeah, you'd have to be in Michigan, an honorably discharged veteran who's eligible for VA healthcare or financial assistance for long-term care. And so we always encourage, right? We don't want individuals determining their eligibility on their own. We want them to contact us. We have admissions representatives at each of our homes in Grand Rapids, in Marquette, and in Chesterfield Township, which is down in Macomb County in Southeast Michigan. But we have admissions personnel at each home that work with families and veterans to figure out eligibility and solutions in that regard. Because we're one option in long-term care. Obviously, the federal VA has community living centers. The federal VA contracts with private nursing homes. And of course, I'm a little biased that I think state veteran homes are pretty special and remarkable places for veterans as well. So yes, contact us. Let us help you on eligibility.
Okay. So veterans homes, once the person gets in, it's basically normally something like long-term care, but I guess it doesn't have to be long-term. Is that a fair understanding?
Right. Generally, I guess most of our residents are longer long-term care, but yeah, I mean, there's the opportunity of, let's say there's a fall and fracture at home and you're coming into a home for rehabilitation and then, rehabbing and going back home out in the community. Those situations exist, here in Michigan and around the country. So it's not always long-term care. It generally is here in Michigan for whatever reason. That's what we see with most of our applications and most of our members, but not always.
Okay. Because I was just thinking about myself. I'm in my 80s. If I were to break my leg or something, my wife couldn't care for me during the first month or so when I was rehabbing. So that is a possibility.
It is. The only limiter to that for state veteran homes is just bed occupancy, which is a thing we continue to advocate for in Congress and with the federal VA as a growing program for state veteran homes that, the more we can collaborate and expand state veteran homes through that state and federal partnership, the more beds we can offer for such things. So to your question, right now there's a waiting list for applicants to our homes, but it's something, that we hope to continue to build more homes in the future.
Great. There's more to discuss about veterans homes, and Ryan's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to before I got into my mid-80s. And take a break, but stay in the area. Ryan and I will be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Marine vet Ryan Engel about veterans homes. Okay, we've done sort of a general thing, but we've been following sort of my questions. You've forgotten more than I'll ever know about them. What are a few things I haven't asked you about that the average citizen should know about veterans homes?
I think I always talk about what makes veteran homes different for veterans than maybe a nursing home in the community or somewhere else. And I think, you know, when you think of long-term care, Denny, women tend to live longer than men. And so nursing homes out in the community currently are filled with 90% women and probably 10% men just due to life expectancy. Our veteran homes currently are the opposite. There's probably 90% men and 10% women. Now, obviously, the veteran demographic is changing, and we'll see that change over the years to get a more balanced demographic within our homes. But, you know, what's different about living at Michigan Veteran Homes or veteran homes is I think the amount of community support and the generosity and involvement from our communities we have as kind of a, you know, as a home for veterans in the community. We're very blessed in Michigan. I know states across the country, state veteran homes are blessed in receiving an outpouring of generosity and community support and a special connection with their communities. And that generosity allows us to just do more for veterans in later in life and end of life care than we'd otherwise be able to. So I think that's a one special thing to highlight.
Yes, sir. That's an important thing for people to understand. One of the things that I know I did on occasion for years was just volunteer at my local veterans home. And I'm sure all of them are different. Sometimes I was with a group of people that wanted to do something, and we had to find out from the veterans home if what we wanted to do fit in, and if so, when and where. That's pretty much the case for all veterans homes, isn't it? If somebody wants to help somehow, you can talk to them and they'll help you figure out what you want to do and how it would be appropriate. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I mean, here in Michigan, you know, we have volunteer and donation coordinators at each of our home that, I mean, we as homes, we strive to be, you know, pillars in our community, but partners with our communities too. I mean, our residents that reside at our homes are, yes, they're members of our veterans homes, but they're members of the broader community as well. And so we've got opportunities to, you know, engage with individuals, small groups, or even larger organizations on, hey, ways to impact the lives of veterans. So the answer to your question is yes.
Okay, because what might work 1 month with a home may not work another month, and what might work in one city may not work in another city. So you just need to get hold of them and coordinate with them. But one of the things that I suspect is always true is that they always welcome people who just want to visit. Because I remember that when I was visiting some of the veterans in the veterans home, their families lived quite a long way away from them. And they just appreciated having somebody who'd come by and chat with them for a half an hour or an hour. Is that generally true?
Generally, yeah. We do ask folks to, you know, work with us ahead of time, not just do a walk-in type, you know, visit or volunteer, because oftentimes, you know, if a veterans are sleeping or they're out on activities or they're, you know, out at Meijer shopping with our bus or anything like that, just to align expectations kind of on both sides of the equation. But at the end of the day, I mean, contacting us and, hey, how can I come have conversations? Can I come participate in an activity with veterans? You know, we're having a cookout. Is there anything I can do by helping out at the cookout this summer, this, you know, this weekend? Or there's just the amount of opportunities for individuals in the community to be involved in our veterans' lives and in our mission of excellent care and exceptional quality of life. I mean, the opportunities are honestly limitless.
And when you go all over the nation, obviously the opportunities in Florida right now are different than the opportunities in Michigan right now. So again, it just has to do with getting in touch with the home nearest you or where you want to go, whether it's on your vacation or visiting friends or whatever. Okay, that makes sense. What else do we need to let our listeners know about veterans homes, even if they're not don't want to get involved personally? Yeah. What are some of the things that they need to know just in general as good citizens to know that this is there in their community to support, share the word about?
Yeah, I mean, the state veteran homes, kind of as I mentioned historically, I mean, you know, they date back to the post-Civil War era. And, you know, collectively, while state veteran homes are owned and operated by the individual states, you know, they provide more than 30,000 long-term care beds to veterans and their loved ones across the country and are the largest single provider of long-term care beds. There's more state veteran home beds than there are VA community living center beds available. And so the states are out there doing this important work, you know, if you're listening to this, in the, you know, communities in your state. And every state veteran homes is different. I share that, you know, here in Michigan, we have a cemetery on our campus that dates back where we have veterans that fought in the Civil War and the Mexican-American War and the Spanish-American War and every conflict and, you know, time of peace, you know, since we have interred on our campus. So when I talk about getting involved or supporting the work of Michigan Veteran Homes or Veteran Homes in your community can look different for different people. We talk about the five T's of philanthropy here at Michigan Veteran Homes. So whether that's giving your time, your talents, your treasures, your ties, or your testimony, you know, you don't have to come volunteer to make a difference in the lives of veterans. That's certainly one way to do so, you know, volunteering your time, supporting our activities. We accept monetary donations to a fund that is tax exempt and separate from operational funds that we use to enhance the quality of life of our veterans in later in life and end of life care. So there's, you know, time, treasures, there's talent. Maybe you want to come, maybe you're a musician and you want to come play music for veterans one day. We can, you know, work with you on what that would look like. And then, you know, those are often the three, time, talent, treasures. I always use ties and testimony. Maybe it's bringing relationships that you have in to benefit the lives of veterans, whatever that might look like. Maybe that's, you know, someone who wants to do more for veterans and doesn't know the right organization or the right outlet. So, you know, ties being relationships and testimony, you know, by knowing our work and seeing the important work that state veteran homes are doing across the country, you can be one to share our message and share, you know, our strengths and share our opportunities and be that voice in the community. So there's lots of ways to support our work. And I always say, you know, whether you want to be directly involved or not, I think it's good to do something for a veteran because they did something for you. And that's what I teach my kids. And I think it's applicable to all of us, Denny.
Well said. And, you know, and just knowing about it, because it's my observation that most veterans and their families don't have any clue of what's out there to support them, whether it's medical support or any other kind of support. Most of them just don't know. And therefore, if we as citizens can just, if we know a person who's a veteran who may be having some kind of a challenge, letting them know that, in this case, the veterans' homes are available, might encourage them to look into something that they're entitled to and could look into. Or somebody who's just saying, gee, I'd like to do something for our community, I don't know what, they could suggest that. Just knowing about it so that as a good citizen, you can share that information. I think that's something that everybody can do, right?
I agree 100%. I think, you know, for the veteran, if you are a veteran or for the veteran in your life, for the veteran that you, you know, otherwise know, encouraging them to get connected to the benefits and, you know, the services and benefits they earned in service is important. And being aware that, you know, state veteran homes are, you know, one option in the long-term care spectrum for veterans, I think all of those things are important. So, yes.
So we citizens need to take care of our veterans. And sometimes it's just that they just didn't know. I mean, the average person in the military gets in, serves 2, 3, 4 years, gets out. Maybe they've got to serve a couple of years in the reserve. They go on with life. And perhaps they suffered an injury, which as a young person, they just blew off. But 40 years later, it's bothering them. And they don't even think about the fact that because they're a veteran, there could be at least some assistance there if they just look into it. And helping people in need is something we all should get pleasure from doing, right?
I agree. And I mean, you know, I take our work at Michigan Veteran Homes, and I know my colleagues in state veteran homes across the country. I mean, it's that mantra that these men and women stood for us at times when we didn't even know it, right? Before I was alive at times, these men and women were serving, fought in Europe and gosh, in Korea, in Vietnam and in other places. And now in later in life care, we're there to serve them. And I think that's a societal responsibility and a responsibility of each one of us to ensure that, you know, when a veteran needs care and services, they're not forgotten. And state veteran homes is one of those ways of making an impact and making sure that debt of gratitude is repaid.
Well said, sir. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for your excellent comments right on care and for your continuing service to our nation. I'm proud to call you a brother.
Denny, I'm grateful to be on here. I'm grateful to be a brother in arms with you with the infantry bond as well. And thanks for letting us share a little bit of our story about Michigan Veteran Homes.
Amen, brother. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the Officers Christian Fellowship with Colonel Scott Fisher. Then Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe another 20 push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face. and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.